not being friends. From the nation's Second Amendment watchdog, anti-gunners, get ready for the pain. The misinformation is over because this is the blunt object. From Gun Owners of America, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady. Bill Frady.
Kicking off the second hour on a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. This portion of the show brought to you by Civil Dispatch. Civil Dispatch is a phone application. It works on all mobile phones that are text-enabled. It does not have to be a smartphone. And with this, you can organize every facet of your life, every meeting, every appointment. You'll be on time. You'll look punctual. You'll look good. But what Civil Dispatch does unbidden that the others do not do are the things that you can't plan for, the things you don't even think about, the things that are unimaginable. The terrorist attack, the flash flood, the tornado bearing down on you. You'll find out about those as well. In fact, you'll be the first to know. With four built-in sets of redundancy, there is no way you don't get this information. This is truly peace through preparedness. Check them out at civildispatch.com. My next guest, I started getting to know him. I took a stab at being a blogger for a very brief moment in time. And I wrote an article, and it was really the only one I've ever written that was any good, because it was from my point of view, and it was something that I was sort of releasing. And it must have looked like one big long paragraph, and my guest actually took it and put punctuation, capitalization in it. And made it look like I knew what I was doing. Joining me from St. Louis, Missouri, the managing editor of truthaboutguns.com is Dan Zimmerman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I am doing okay. The Truth About Guns is a blog that is more prolific. When you guys are thinking about, when I think about an update on a gun blog, I'm thinking two articles, three articles a day. You guys do that in pages.
Yeah, we hit 14, 16, 17 posts a day.
Generally. 17 posts a day. And what's your readership now per month? I mean, I know last time I asked Robert, it was going up, and it's probably still going up.
Yeah, it is. It's we're up to about 65,000 unique readers a day.
A day.
A day.
Arguably more than any other sort of internet media or print media out there.
Yeah, we get more readers in 4 or 5 days than the Dead Tree Gun Magazine do in a month. So, yeah, we're busy.
The Dead Tree. Now, the reason I called Dan, and I don't even know if this would even apply to you, because I've heard there's maybe a blogger's exemption. But yesterday when this shooting was unfolding, the news outlets are not as prolific as the Truth About Guns, and as the Truth About Guns refers to you, the American gun owner, as the people of the gun. For the people of the gun, we don't like this kind of thing happening, and we want to know what's happening, and you guys were aggregating like mad, weren't you? I mean, you were throwing everything up there as fast as it came across your bow.
We were, and that's really what we do. Being a blog, most of what we do is commentary, so we'll go out and access the local news feeds or the national news feeds and get that up there with the appropriate caveats that in situations like the Navy Yard shooting yesterday, 75 to 80% of what goes up is eventually proven to be inaccurate. For instance, the three shooter thing that they were talking about yesterday, and for all kinds of stories about what guns he was using, so you've got to let time, the fullness of time, shake all that information out. But yeah, we try to get that information up as quickly as possible so people do know what's going on.
Now, the reason that a website, folks, like the Truth About Guns is important is because they're attempting to level the playing field. If you're pro Second Amendment, you're up against mainstream media as far as the messaging. And Truth About Guns is a good, very big counterbalance against something like that with 65,000 hits a day. The reason I bring all this up is because of this authorized journalist thing they're trying to do out of the Senate. Now,
yeah, imagine that. The government's been in the business of licensing journalists.
Yeah. It makes me think, Dan, that, you know, they tried the gun control thing and they figured out the dissemination of information was more people were getting the true skinny on what they were trying to do. So now they're going to pull back a little bit and let's try to control the information flow.
That's right. I mean, because, you know, the mainstream media isn't beholden to government enough as it is, or subservient enough in most cases. So, people like Dianne Feinstein, Dick Durbin, Chuck Schumer, what could go wrong, are trying to do is provide a shield law, quote unquote, for, again, quote, legitimate news organizations.
Now, this would have to do with confidential sources, is that right?
That's correct. And this is coming, it's been in the works for a long time, but this is now coming to a head again in the wake of the Edward Snowden and Greenwald situation with the NSA secret. But the funny thing is, everything he did is already against the law. And if I'm assuming that if Mr. Greenwald was found to have been in possession of state secrets, quote unquote, he will be prosecuted accordingly. Or
now,
you think so?
One thing I want to point out, I mean, I don't know about you, I've held a clearance before, and I may be wrong about this, and if I am, you can correct me, and I'll take it like a man. Where Greenwald and Snowden broke the law was not the information itself, but they violated their security clearance.
I'm sure that's the case with Snowden. Greenwald, to my knowledge, didn't have a clearance. He is a journalist by most people's definition of the term, and he came into possession of that information and then disseminated it. And to the I don't play a lawyer on TV, I don't know, but my understanding is that breaks existing laws.
Now, this is. See, whenever I look at gun control and they say, well, we just want expanded background checks, every time they get a new gun control law passed, I look at that as a toehold on the mountain. And I'm sort of looking at this attack on the First Amendment as a toehold on the mountain.
I think that's absolutely right. Anything that our betters in government can do to get more of a grip around the neck of information and those who disseminate it, the more it's their purpose.
Now,
and to the extent that bloggers and other people who they don't see as being real journalists get in their way, that's inconvenient.
Well, I mean, one of the things that was very inconvenient for them that really strikes me is that the breaking of the true story of what was going on with Operation Fast and Furious came from one, I guess he would be considered a legitimate journalist, David Kodria, and a blogger named Mike Vanderbilt. They were the ones
Correct.
That broke. They were the ones that broke that, and that was very inconvenient for them to be putting that out.
Yes, very. I'm sure made an awful lot of people uncomfortable, and still are. All the people in the Justice Department have done a pretty good job of shrugging that off for how many years.
Yeah, they
now.
Look they look awful lackadaisical about any concerns they may have over that one. But
why this is there? It's hard to get to this thing.
Why? And I tell you what. Well, before I start this next line of thought and everything, we're coming up on the first break of the hour. I'm joined this morning by Dan Zimmerman, the managing editor of thetruthaboutguns.com. When we come back, if you have a question for Dan, if you want to find out more about thetruthaboutguns.com, feel free to call in. The phone lines will be open on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
Thank you.
on a Tuesday. Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. Dan, this is a relatively short segment, so let's take a minute and discuss what is the truth about guns. The truth about guns, the founder of the truth about guns today is in Pennsylvania getting ready to debate a gun grabber, isn't he, Robert Farrago?
He is. He's going to be at Penn State fighting a good fight.
Robert has been didn't he just write an op-ed in USA Today about gun rights?
He did. He's done a few of those for them. They seem to call on him occasionally, which is nice to get a balance, what they consider a balancing view. He does a good job of waving the flag and supporting the Second Amendment.
He's sort of unflappable too. He and I have had some discussions on the phone where He just keeps just a cool, calm demeanor throughout all of it. I'm not trying to yank his chain or anything. I tend to get a little more wound up. Then there is Nick Leghorn, voracious three-gun competitor, part of Team FN. This guy is a shooter, a relatively young fellow. He has he's a former Department of Homeland Security contractor, and he's been on the show with me too. Now he's pretty good on media.
He is. He does. He does a great job. He's kind of a polymath. He's into all kinds of things: computers, the shooting. He's just an all around sharp guy.
And then there is Dan. Dan is a professional photographer by trade, sort of a late bloomer. Actually, Dan and I, I think you and I fit into the same overall demographic. We're the guys that. There's a lot of guys that want me to go run and gun with them, and I just look at them and say, I'll be shuffling.
that describes me pretty darn well. Yeah, I'd love to do some of the things that Nick does. I don't know that's in my wheelhouse, really. So I like to shoot. I like to shoot trap and skeet at that type of thing, and I get the pistols out once in a while, but I'm not much of a runner and gunner.
Yeah, well, that's why I have guns, so I don't have to run. I'll have to send you one of my show T-shirts. It fits our demographic beautifully on the back message.
I'll look forward to that.
It's on the back of it. It says, "Knees bad, can't run, gotta shoot."
Perfect.
The truth about guns. I think of you, Nick, and Robert as the trio that are actually really steering that boat. But you encourage writers or would-be writers to contribute to it, and you take a lot of contributions. You even take them. From time to time from some of the I haven't seen anything from Mike B recently, but I'm sure if he sent something, you would take it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we encourage contributions from anyone as long as it's gun-related. And just because they disagree with our slant on things, our pro-gun platform, that's okay. Hearing from the other side is good, too. It's healthy and keeps you sharp.
The interesting thing about that is for all of you would-be writers out there that might want to contribute, you'd be contributing to something once Dan will make you look good. Dan will make you look good. I did the one piece that I ever wrote that was worth anything, worth having, worth doing it all. It was basically just an emotional release of mine that I put to paper. And I'm almost certain it just looked like one long sentence. It was about 2 pages long. And then
it
Dan
was a
got
little
a
more constructive than that, but it was a very well done piece. And you felt it a lot of heart went into that.
Yeah, but I can't duplicate that, so that's why I don't do it anymore. That was the only incident of its type that I've ever had. So thankfully, the only incident. But the thing I'm trying to point out is for the would-be writer that wants to contribute something, that sends something to you. When you guys do publish it, it's getting put on a website that's getting hit 65,000 times a day.
Yeah, please send us your information, guntruth@me.com. We'd love to read it.
That is guntruth@me.com.
Yes.
Out of this eclectic band of people that you bring together, like you've got some very hardcore people that read this thing. I can look at their. I can look at their comments and understand, but you guys provoke a lot of thought.
We try. We try. We, like as you said, we have a great very educated readership, and if you read the comments under just about any post, you'd be very impressed. It's not like some forums out there where people are screaming and yelling at each other and calling each other names. It's well reasoned, intelligent, usually good grammar, and well thought out points on various sides of an issue. It's not all just an echo chamber.
The part I like about it, though, is the sheer, because of the prolific nature of it, you know, there's going to be gun reviews, there's going to be, you guys, you'll aggregate from any source. There's nobody that you don't like, and you like everybody, so everybody's point of view gets put out there. Recently, you guys were hitting back against Sarah Silverman, or Sandra Silverman, Sarah Silverman, what's her name?
Sarah Silverman.
See, that's how much she means to me. I don't even know her name. She put out a video with Funny or Die about creating a black NRA. And a friend of mine named Colion Noir, who's a big YouTube guy and a spokesman for the NRA, he put out a video in rebuttal. And then Alfonso Rachel and his rock rap fusion group, 20 Pound Sledge, they put out a video on it, and you've got a bunch of young black men all dreaded up, and when they're talking, it sounds like English literature professors talking to you, refuting these racist points. And you guys, just by finding that and seeing that, you nail it together by pointing out the sheer racist nature of gun control in the first place.
Yeah, well, the roots of gun control were ultimately racist. Get guns out of the hands of Southern black. So the fact that Sarah Silverman stepped in it that way without even realizing it is just, well, fairly typical.
Yeah, I don't quite get this. You know, if Matt Damon, who also was a gun, well, I don't know that I would say he's a gun grabber. He's a gun hater. If he would just start making movies about gerbils, instead of having guns in every movie that he's in of some sort. I mean, he did this anti-gun rant, and now he's got this movie out with a title I can't pronounce, but now he's got futuristic ray guns. But they're still guns.
They definitely are.
If I want to see somebody pretend to be somebody that they're not and be entertained by it, which I guess in order to pull off that whole pretension, I have to believe a lie, I'll watch Matt Damon. But if I want my key thinking points, I don't want to hear from him.
Yeah, the Hollywood left loves to let everyone know they know about guns and how terrible they are, right up until the time somebody calls action, and then it's time to use them themselves.
Coming up on the next break when we get back, truthaboutguns.com, you can find it there. Guntruth@me.com, if you want to submit an article, it will go to Dan. Dan will take a look at it. If it's something that he can print, which, believe me, if you printed mine, I can't think of anything it can't print. But this, we're going to get into the meat of why websites like the Truth About Guns are important, what they're trying to do about it, how it played into keeping us abreast of what was going on yesterday. Because, like I said, the people of the gun, I mean, did you see any comments yesterday that were anything but horrified from the people of the gun that this incident was unfolding yesterday?
Oh, of course not. No, nobody hates violence more than gun owners. The reason they own guns in 99.9% of the cases.
Gunslinger, if you will tell Glenn in Philadelphia to hold on through the break, we will get to him right after we come back from it. I'm actually glad things are working out this way. I didn't have any power when the show started, Dan. We're doing good now. Everything's working.
We're online.
Roger that. You hang on, sir. When we get back, more Dan Zimmerman, Truth About Guns on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load. Welcome back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. latest thing they're talking about, the VA was treating Aaron Alexis for a host of serious mental issues, including paranoia and sleep disorder, and was hearing voices. My guest today, Dan Zimmerman from The Truth About Guns. Dan, let's take a quick phone call. Glenn from Philadelphia. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Dan. Just thinking about this. Called for something else, but I wanted to mention this first. I used to be in rifle club in high school, and I had a pistol course in college. Wasn't afraid of guns, not really even a big gun guy today. But what motivated me to buy my first handgun was Michael Dukakis' run for the presidency in 88. And he was a vehement gun grabber at the time. And I decided to cast a dollar vote by purchasing a handgun, in support of, the Second Amendment and my right to own one. I didn't even, really have an avid desire to shoot at the range or anything. But I think we're seeing that phenomenon now. The gun grabbers are climbing all up, and all these sales of guns are constantly telling the powers that be that American people want guns because they're buying them and they're casting dollar votes against the gun grabbers.
Dan, do you think that is largely because of the information chain that goes out there, that people are more aware of what what Glenn's describing in 1988? There, what was the internet then?
It was, unless you work for the government or the military or something like that. It just goes to show you that nothing makes Americans want to do something more than somebody trying to tell them they can't. And we've seen that these days too. I mean, nobody's been a bigger seller of guns and ammunition than Barack Obama and some of his friends in the Senate.
Right, exactly. I later joined the range and, would go and shoot periodically. Right now, I'm actually so busy with work and stuff like that. I actually don't have time to mess with it much, but I love listening to programs such as this, and I understand the importance of that. I since, purchased other guns. And I do like to, would like to find time to maybe go to the range, but again, exceedingly busy lifestyle. But that doesn't stop me from trying to stay abreast of what's going on a little bit.
You ought to check out The Truth About Guns, Glenn, seriously. You guys update even on Sunday. I mean, you guys don't ever take a break, do you, Dan?
Oh, no. The internet is weird in that it never closes. We post 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
I mean, that's something you can do anytime you want to, Glenn. And I mean,
exactly.
When you're going back and you're looking at the archives, when you go down to the bottom of the page and decide where you want to go, you can start on page one and go to page 2,171.
Right.
So there's a wealth of information out there for you, and they aggregate it, they write it, sometimes they create it. It comes from all quarters, literally.
What the liberals are really good at, and especially groups like AIPAC and stuff like that, is mobilizing the adherence of the lobbyists, of course. These people say they spend time, and, so maybe people like me, if I can become better educated and better involved in, support group initiatives or petition drives, stuff like that, or speaking out against legislation, if you can get a few hundred million of people such as myself to just chime in and, and make it known, if the powers of being known know that there are a lot of people who do care, they might be less inclined to try and perpetrate.
As we've seen in Colorado recently.
That's what I was going to bring up. I think that a lot of people in Colorado, I think the tipping point was the gun control, but it was also the fact that the senators or the Senate decided that they weren't representatives, that they were rulers. And you're talking about, like what you're talking about, Glenn, if that was actually happening right now with our leadership today, Obama would be standing up saying, the people have spoken. They don't want my Obamacare. I therefore executive order it defunded.
Right.
But our leadership, our government that's supposed to rule by the consent of the governed, thinks they're a lot smarter than me and you. So,
Well, not only that, there is a malicious apathy. If you bring stuff up among people who don't want to even address things, if I bring up, constitutional issues or geopolitical issues, this is like a cool thing. I just take it like it comes, one day at a time. Can't fight the law. just the immediate thing is like absolution from people absolving themselves from even learning anything, lest it might become incumbent upon them to actually do something. You know, and I'm not an activist, but, you know, people don't even want to think about stuff propositionally because, oh, they're, I'm cool, I'm laid back, I don't trouble myself about that sort of thing. There's nothing you can do.
The only problem with that is a luxury that nobody can afford anymore.
Well, but unfortunately what will happen is the masses will wait until it's too late and then feel, you know, tyranny's at their doorstep and then go, well, what happened? This can't be, you know? And it's like, well, you know, so my empathy, you know that saying that the only thing required for evil men to, succeed is for good men to do nothing or something to that effect?
Yes.
I wouldn't say they're good people. I don't think if you're apathetic and on the fence and everything, you're potentially good or potentially evil. But if you're doing nothing, you're not a good person. You're a potential person one way or the other and more leaning towards evil if you're not, if you're not doing anything. So I'm not too convinced about this good people thing, you know?
Well, the apathy is a bad thing, but, in the event, and Dan, you can give me your opinion on this. They keep wanting to say there's 80 million gun owners, that there's 300 million guns. There's been 72 million NCIS checks since Obama's been in office or whatever they call those things anymore. I think it's probably closer to 110, 120 million people own guns, and there's probably closer to 400 million guns out there. In the event that tyranny were to come down, and if it does, I hope it does in my lifetime. In the event that were to come down, the guerrilla force they're going to face is going to be something the world has never seen.
Yeah, I hope we never see anything like that. That's not anything anybody would wish for.
Well, I don't want to see it, but I don't want to leave it to my children or my grandchildren.
No, you wouldn't want to leave it to anybody.
If it comes down to it, but I mean that's the beauty of the Second Amendment.
Well, one more generation, and the generation that comes up next will have no idea what constitutional freedoms are about at all.
Yeah, it sort of falls to us. That's okay though. I'll take it. Dan will take it.
Exactly. Can I ask a hardware question, Bill? Or
yes.
This is truth about guns. About like my notions about my urban legend notions about the history of the M16 and the 223 and all that sort of thing. I remember hearing something, probably I think from Vietnam vets or something back in the day. Like, we know the M16 had a checkered history in terms of when it first came out with jams and being machined to tighter tolerances of an AK and all that kind of stuff. But another thing I heard was that somebody said that once told me that 223 rounds, the M16 rounds were designed to tumble because, that VC were taping themselves up and the high-powered rounds were going right through them and they keep a coming. So there had been something done to cause the M16 rounds to tumble so that they would hit broadside and be less inclined to go through. Have you ever heard anything like that?
When the 5.56 is going down range, there's a wobble on the front and the back. And with that wobble, when it hits in its trajectory, it's not a tight spinning spiral. It's a wobble front to back. And when it hits, I mean, depending on where it hits you, it can hit you in the shoulder on the left side and come out of your right hip. It's designed on impact to do massive tissue damage, and they designed it that way.
And is that true of all, is that true for ARs these days and everything like that, too?
I think that was largely designed on the ammo. I don't know if that's true of 223. I know about the 5.56 because that was beaten into our head when I was in basic training.
5.56, So there is, in other words, I probably have it all followed stuff or something. I knew I heard something to that effect from someone, and so it's not completely mythical.
No.
All right, very good.
No, not at all. Not at all. Thanks for the call, Glenn.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dan, we're coming up on the last break. We'll talk about what we were going to talk about after the next break. You can submit articles to Dan to be published at The Truth About Guns by going to guntruthatme.com. Does that mean you're an Apple aficionado?
Robert actually established that, but yes, I am. We both are.
then you can understand the heartbreak I had this past weekend when the hard drive crashed on the MacBook Pro, can't you?
Oh, goodness. I don't even want to think about it. That's why I backed mine up. Were you backed up?
No, I wasn't backed up. You can beat on me about that later.
Okay,
I will be buying a 3 terabyte time capsule.
That's a good idea.
I think so, too. Last time today, I give this back to Republic Broadcast Network on a Tuesday with my guest Dan Zimmerman from The Truth About Guns. This is Lock and Load. Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. We exist in a world today where we can have two studies come out, one by Eric Fast and Furious Holder's Department of Justice and the Pew Research Center, saying that gun violence has gone down 49% in the last 20 years. It's lower than it's ever been. And at the same time, because of the way the media shapes the message, 56% of America thinks gun violence is on the rise. We've got the president out there saying yet another mass shooting like this happens every weekend instead of the statistical blip that it is. And this is where a website like thetruthaboutguns.com comes into play. Joining me is the managing editor, Dan Zimmerman. This is why, Dan, the fact that you and I'm there may be a site or two like you, but there's a lot of websites, a lot of gun blogs out there. If they're not reading yours, somebody's reading something, because we just saw in Colorado where a bunch of people educated themselves and understood, hey, this isn't going to do anything about crime. It wouldn't have prevented anything. But with the majority of America thinking it's on the rise, without websites like yours and they're controlling the message, what do you think happens then?
More things like the laws they're passing in California and the SAFE Act in New York and other efforts at curtailing civilian ownership of firearms. It's a constant battle. You think you win, you won, and you don't. Unfortunately, something terrible like yesterday or Newtown happens, and it just fuels the fire again.
The reason this is important is because the Democrats in the Senate, they couldn't do anything with the Second Amendment, so now they're going to really, and it's just come out of the Judiciary Committee. I don't know if the full Senate would take it up. I don't know if the House would stop it. It's just a Senate Judiciary Committee, which is Feinstein, Schumer, and Durbin, carrying the water for Holder, who, of course, carries the water for Obama. They want to fully control the message, don't they? They want to, by going after people and going after their confidential sources, if they're not quote unquote legitimate, that sort of puts a chill on the spine of whistleblowers that want to blog, doesn't it?
I think that's at the root of what they're doing. I think they know that the vast majority of the mainstream media is subservient to pretty much whatever they do and tends to cover them and make sure that the narrative is furthered. And anyone who would think to talk to or publish through another site that is not licensed, if this, something like this would happen, should think twice. I think that's what they're trying to do.
You know, you talk about them, and I believe the media is in the tank. But when it comes to gun control, for a lot of them, I don't think they know what they're talking about. I think they're just parrots. They use the assault weapon or the weapons of war or, they use a bunch of cliches that have been thought up by the gun grabbing or as you refer to them, the civilian disarmament complex, the gun grabbers at large, that they've designed to put out an emotional response, and they just run with it without even checking into it.
Well, that's right. It's sort of in their style book. I mean, a semi-automatic rifle, whether it's something a little like a 10/22, is by definition a weapon of war. And the average non-gun-owning member of the public doesn't know the difference. They hear that, and of course, gosh, I don't want weapons of war in my street. Why would I want that? So, yeah, it's very convenient, and it appeals to people's emotions, and it can be effective, if not countered by people on the other side who actually know what they're talking about.
It's an interesting year we've been in because there was 13 empirical studies prior to Sandy Hook, and this year we've seen 5 studies, and we've seen the Police One poll. We've seen Harvard, which surprisingly put out what they did. Obama commissions with his executive action the CDC. That doesn't go with the narrative that he had out there. That doesn't get any public publicity. Pew Research and the Department of Justice. In this year alone, we've had 5 things saying that the people of the gun are good, effective, and prolific. And yet at the same time, we see a pamphlet like Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging making the rounds.
Yeah, it's, you know, all the empirical evidence, as you say, or all the more objectively driven studies, has shown that gun violence is going on. And the fact that gun ownership has gone up in an inverse proportion to crime in the last 20 years, while, again, correlation is not causation, it's getting harder and harder to say that all these guns on the street, probably close to 400 million of them now, are causing some huge crime wave. It doesn't pass the smell test anymore.
Do you think, I just looked at, while Dan's been on the air with me, he's been updating the truth about guns. He's a multitasker. Do you think the gun control debate, do you think it's still going to be dead, given what happened in Colorado? The fact that, you know, politicians really enjoy being politicians. And, you know, they just watched an example, even though California seems to still be rolling along. But do you think, for the most part, it's still going to remain a dormant issue, or are we just going to see a half-hearted attempt with the yet again another mass shooting, that kind of rhetoric where they're trying to make it sound commonplace to try to gin up the gun control debate again?
I don't think it's ever dead, but I think on the federal level right now, I think people have had their fill of it despite what happened yesterday. The shooter yesterday, turns out, bought a gun legally, went through a mix check. He's been arrested a couple of times, and charges
were dropped. Yeah, I'm wondering about that. How did that happen?
It's a good question. It's amazing what happens when you don't enforce laws, which is one of the big criticisms of the Justice Department. There are, I can't remember what the number was, how many thousands of NICS checks came up at an answer of no in some minuscule amount, 13 prosecutions of people who were trying to buy guns illegally.
I think it was 77,000 in that stat you're referencing. I think it was 77,000.
Right. So 77,000 people who filled out that form incorrectly, which is a crime, and I think there was like a baker's dozen of prosecutions.
Yeah.
Why would that be? Why wouldn't, if as Eric Holder says, he's you know, put all his efforts into enforcing gun laws, why is the Justice Department doing that? If we're breaking the law.
That was my biggest complaint. You know, the expanded background checks thing, that had nothing to do with buying a gun. I knew that. Then when they revamped it, then they decided, well, we won't do that. We'll do a gun registry instead with Manchin Toomey. And then, of course, that got defeated, and Obama throws his hissy fit. But in the meantime, leading up to this, they're not enforcing anything. Why do we need more law? Why don't you go fix what's out there? And, you know, one of the things that bothers me most about this, Dan, is people think that background checks are just the way it's supposed to be. That's a 90s phenomenon. It wasn't always there.
No, it wasn't. But they're out there now. And if they're on the book, and they are, the question is then, why don't you enforce the law? What yeah. good are more background checks and more laws going to do if you're not enforcing the existing laws?
It's that toehold on the mountain.
Exactly.
The more you can climb up the mountain, one day they may summit it. Real quick, tell everybody how to find you and the truth about guns as we get ready to sign off for the day.
www.thetruthaboutguns.com. And again, if you're somebody who wants to put pen to paper, would love to read what you write, just send it to us at guntruth@me.com. I'll be happy to read it.
You'll find the most stimulating blend of different types of articles there you've ever seen in your life. It's a 24-hour-a-day website, 7 days a week, 2.5 pages of updates a day. They'll make you look good if you submit it. Dan, thank you very much for joining me today. I will be in touch, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. And there you have it. My thanks to Gunslinger at Republic Broadcast Network. He is a pro. Remember this. Keep it close to you. It's never been about gun control. It's always been, it's always going to be about total control. On a Tuesday, this has been Lock and Load.
John Stone.